The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire, Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
The history of the church in Spain. The first Spanish member was Melitón Trejo from Extremadura in about 1870. Trejo emigrated to Utah, where he aided in the first Spanish translation of portions of the Book of Mormon. He later accompanied the first church missionary expedition to Mexico. The next known Spanish conversions occurred in 1966 in association with two American congregations that were meeting for Sunday worship. Official recognition of the church in Spain was formalized in 1968, and a mission was organized 2 years later. During this period, many Spanish-speaking members from other nations were transferred by their businesses to Spain and helped to strengthen new congregations. By 1974, 620 members met in 17 congregations. Current membership in Spain is 45,729.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss the growth of the church around the world. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today are President Eugene Hill and Sister Joan Hill, who've recently presided over the Madrid, Spain Mission Training Center. President Hill was a Spanish professor at BYU Hawaii, then became the president of the Hawaii Language Training Mission in 1972. He then became director of teacher training at the Language Training Mission in Provo before leaving to serve as mission president in Bolivia. President Hill then worked as the Director of International Mission Training Centers for the Church Missionary Department before their call to the Madrid, Spain MTC. The Hills have 6 children and 21 grandchildren. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
What a marvelous history of church service. I can't help but just ask about the 6 children and 21 grandchildren and the impact that it's been on them for you to have this broad-ranging experience with missionary work.
I think what comes to my mind first is all 6, we have 5 boys and 1 mm-hmm. daughter, all 6, including our daughter, have served full-time missions.
Wonderful.
And loved it. And we think that to a large degree that was influenced by our living in the mission field uh-huh. among missionaries and being influenced by that great missionary spirit.
I bet it had to be an impact over the years through all of these experiences. How's it been with the grandchildren? You haven't always been able to be close to them.
That's true, but we write to them, we call them, and they write to us and send pictures, and we love them, and we pray for them, and they pray for us. And so their prayers are felt among us.
And sometimes I think that there is as much blessing that comes from that as anything, by having those children that are thinking of us and praying.
That's right.
And it could very well be has a greater impact on their life than anything else that grandparents could be doing.
We really hope so.
Well, talk to us a little bit about the church's mission training center experience. I'm not sure how many members really understand the way the system works. Now, it used to be there was just one MTC in Provo, and the language training mission was kind of associated with that. And unless you had a son or daughter actually there, you didn't know much about it. And even then, you weren't too sure. Explain what's going on now worldwide.
Language training missions are the precursor mm-hmm. of the missionary training center.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1960s, of course, Provo had its missionary training center or language training mission. And then to accommodate facilities as well as resources locally, they put in a language training mission at Ricks College, which is now BYU, mm-hmm. Idaho. For the Scandinavian, Dutch, and Finnish languages, a lot of returned missionaries and native speakers were attending Ricks College at mm-hmm. the time. And then in Hawaii at the BYU Hawaii campus, or then Church College of Hawaii campus, they established the language training mission for the Asian and Pacific Rim languages, mm-hmm. such as Japanese, Cantonese, Mandarin, Thai, Korean, Indonesian, and then some of the South Pacific languages.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, the Hawaii Language Training Mission was phased out and consolidated in Provo, and then a year later, the one at Ricks College was also brought into Provo.
Uh-huh.
And after that, there seemed to be missionaries that would go into the field that didn't have that Provo missionary training or language training mission experience. And so the church started to develop small satellite missionary training centers. There at one time were 16 international MTCs uh-huh. that were all patterned after the sort of the flagship missionary training center at Provo, Utah.
Yeah. Well, it must be an amazing thing worldwide because I was just in Africa, for example, and they have an MTC functioning in Ghana. And it seems like the MTCs exist everywhere. And it was interesting. I ran into 8 missionaries who were just leaving from the MTC to go to their mission in Nigeria, and they were tremendous. We had this huge layover, and they were talking to all of the people at the airport. They taught some first discussions. They placed Book of Mormons, and they were having a marvelous experience, and so were all the people they were talking to.
Literally, miracle after miracle takes place in those 3 weeks that missionaries have in the shadow of a temple where they can go and participate in temple ordinances once a week mm-hmm. and receive talks and inspired direction from area presidencies and other general authorities, and then have that 3-week experience with a recently returned missionary as their trainer or their teacher.
So go through that program just a little bit, because a lot of what you said is new and really interesting to me, so I'm sure it will be to the listeners.
Well, based on a curriculum that is developed and approved under the direction of the First Presidency, the Quorum of 12, and the Missionary Department, Preach My Gospel is one of the main resource tools along with the scriptures. And missionaries then for much of the day are in class learning from missionaries who have been out preceding them and have been extremely successful, are great role models and understand the program, teach them how to use the scriptures, how to teach from the scriptures, how to find people and love the people so that through their love to the people can feel Heavenly Father's love. And so these missionaries are taught how to find out what these people want, what they need, what they long for, what they yearn for, what their greatest anxieties and fears might be, or their goals in life. And then based on what they have been taught, then they pick and choose the content that would most relate to what those people need at that particular time.
Seems like it engages the Holy Ghost more than the old prescriptive 6 discussions used to.
Oh, it really does. In fact, in order to succeed, you have to have the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that's the teacher. And the missionary quickly learns that he's a facilitator, that he's a catalyst to bring about a spiritual atmosphere where the Spirit can do what only the Spirit can do.
What are some of the challenges you see with new missionaries coming into to an MTC and what they have to deal with as they enter the MTC and what happens between then and when they leave for the mission present, mission field?
That's an interesting question. And what I think of first is, by nature, regardless of our nationality, our geographical location, or our culture, we as human beings are programmed to share information. And so we come power-packed with a presentation that we have developed and polished, but we're set up for failure if we just do it that way. And so missionaries learn early on that they can't just present a lesson, or they can't teach a lesson or disseminate information. They've got to, first of all, find out where that person is coming from, what that person needs, what makes that person tick. And again, what they're looking for in life. And then once they have determined that with the influence of the Holy Ghost, then pick and choose those things that would most or best meet the needs of that particular individual. That's where they probably one of the biggest challenges is, because these 19-year-old, 20, 21-year-old missionaries rarely, if at all, have done that. Mm-hmm. They've always, in school, it's let's learn this piece of material and then we will regurgitate it at the appropriate time. And so it's always learn, memorize, and share instead of let's just find out.
Yeah.
Let's just do what the Lord says. Turn yourself over to Him and His Spirit, and He will put words in your mouth and give you the concept at the very moment when you need it.
I bet it's a challenge for a lot of these young missionaries who before have been engaged in life but mostly in a taking role to have that kind of a turnaround where they're really thinking about listening to other people's feelings and needs.
It is at first, uh-huh. but bless their hearts, it doesn't take long for a humble missionary to quickly catch on to that vision and then run with it and be ever, ever so powerful in the field.
Yeah. I bet you've seen some interesting changes in the missionaries, even in the short time you have in the MTC. Mission presidents always talk about the 2-year experience or the 18-month experience. But I bet you see it even in the short time that you have them.
Having served as a mission president and also as a missionary training center president, I think I could honestly say that for me, the most gratifying and satisfying calling or experience of the two was working in the missionary training center with these missionaries for that very reason, that in 3 or 6 or 8.5 weeks, you could see a tremendous transformation take place in the lives and in the hearts of these young missionaries. And then to be an integral part with them, a mission president would see his missionaries about every 4 weeks for his own conference and an interview. But in the missionary training center, the mission president would see him about every 10 minutes. and to see that what had happened in the course of that 10-minute span was absolutely incredible.
It was kind of being with them through the incubation period.
Exactly.
Well, what a thrill. You know, to me, it's a miracle what the Lord does with us anyway. But being there with the young missionaries as they're engaging with spiritual service for the first time must be a thrill.
Missionaries bring a beautiful spirit. There's nothing quite like a missionary. Mm-hmm. And then to have them multiplied many times over in different classrooms and districts and as an aggregate of the whole MTC, it's one of the most thrilling spiritual experiences we've ever had.
And I bet you see some marvelous sisters come through. I know as a mission president, the sisters were just a remarkable influence. How does that work at the MTC?
I love the sisters. They were just so special, and they were always so good to me, too. But as he was talking, I was thinking about one sister who came through, and the very first week they're there. Every week they have an opportunity. They had an opportunity to go out on Saturday and meet people in the park, and they could talk about the gospel with them. But they'd only been there. This group had only been there 3 days, and Saturday was coming, and they were going out. And this one sister, she was terrified. Hmm. The night before, she was in a panic mode. She was so afraid of going out. She was crying, very unhappy. But sweet soul that she was, the next day she went out. And they were gone 2 hours. And when she came back, she glowed. She was so excited. She was so happy. She said, I can do this. This is fun. This is great. I've never seen such a change from that crying sister to that jubilant sister that she was out there talking about the gospel with people.
Well, it's interesting to me how faith is so much connected to the Spirit. And when you have faith, the Spirit comes. And when you have the Spirit, faith comes. And when you see faith multiplied in a short period because the Spirit bears witness, as you bear witness, it's really miraculous.
That's good.
I noticed, too, when elders are in a class or a district with sisters, even the elders are better than they've ever been. The sisters have this power to raise and lift people.
Yeah.
And once we had a distinguished guest from the government come to our MTC on a tour, and I had the honor of presenting part of our MTC experience. And as I mentioned that elders are in service for 2 years, sisters for 18 months, this distinguished gentleman frowned, and he said, well, why is that? And I had to very quickly come up with a satisfactory answer, and I just quickly thought of something I had heard before, and I said very simply and humbly, I think it's because sisters can do more in 18 months than elders in 24. And he just laughed and said, what a great answer. And he says, I can agree with that. Even though he wasn't a member of the church.
And you get the feeling that's true as a mission president.
Oh,
you
the really sisters are fantastic. We had a sister come from Portugal, a convert to the church. She was converted in England. But when she was 11 years old, her father passed away. She never, ever knew her mother. So when her father died, she was all alone. She had no siblings, no relatives, no parent, no foster parent to take care of her. So at age 11, she was out on the street doing the best she could. Somehow, somewhere, she was converted to the gospel and a few years later came to our MTC. And in my introductory interview, I was just asking different questions, and I was absolutely amazed at her self-confidence, her poise. And she was virtually emotionless as she related all this tragic growing up story of hers. And I thought, there's got to be more to it than that. She doesn't seem to express any emotion at all. And so finally I asked a question. I said, all of those years growing up, when you would get down and discouraged or needed a shoulder to cry on, where did you go? To whom did you turn? And her response was, after a moment's pause, I don't really know. I guess it was God. And then just broke down and wept and wept. And so it was all there. But she, in spite of all of the difficulties, hardships, and challenges, she chose to go on a mission and blessed her district, blessed our whole MTC because of that great feminine spirit that she had.
Yeah. What a marvelous story and a great example of our powerful young people that are serving missions in spite of all kinds of challenges. I'm Tim Taggart. You're listening to Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. And today we're discussing the training of missionaries with President Eugene and Joan Hill. What a marvelous experience that you've had over the years with so many missionaries that have gone through the mission training centers that you've had contact with. It has to be hundreds and hundreds of missionaries. Have you ever counted how many missionaries you've been associated with in your assignments?
It's got to be in the thousands and thousands.
Yeah. What a marvelous thing to have had an opportunity to touch so many lives.
Well, we look at it in the reverse. Mm-hmm. Think of those thousands of lives, eager, young men and women, humble, scared to death, but so willing to serve, making this transformation that have touched our lives.
Yeah. Are there any stories that come to mind of some of the successful experiences some of the missionaries have shared with you from their experiences?
We had an elder from the east coast of Spain. Mm-hmm. Come to our MTC. He was a convert and was quite nervous, like most. And when he learned that he was to have a North American companion on his proselyting experience on the third day that he was there, and the North American companion did not speak Spanish, so that meant the weight was on his shoulders to communicate in the park experience for 3 hours, he grabbed his companion. They had a kneeling prayer. And he prayed for the Spirit to guide them because he didn't know what to do or how to go about it. And when they got to the park, it was the El Retiro Park in downtown Madrid, Spain. He just turned heavenward and said, Father in heaven, guide our footsteps. And he felt impressed after that to approach a man that was sitting on a bench nearby. He started his little approach to engage this man in the conversation, and before he could get the approach out, the man just waved his finger of rejection in his face and said, no, I don't want anything to do with you or your religion. Get out of my face. And so this elder, devastated, absolutely devastated, grabbed his companion and started to walk off. And then he realized, wait a minute, we prayed that the Lord would guide us. And the Lord led us to this man. And so he turned his companion around. They went back, and he apologized to the man and said, I'm sorry. We must have offended you some way. I don't know how he did it, but that was not our intent. And then he thought, I need to engage this man in a conversation. So he asked a simple question. Do you come to the park often? And this man said, yes. I come every Saturday morning like today. And this elder said, what brings you to the park? And the man said, ever since my sister passed away 2 years ago, I have come here seeking comfort and some type of an answer to life's toughest questions. And this good elder said, I think I know how you feel. 6 years ago, my brother passed away, and I had those same kinds of questions, but I found the answers. And that's why I'm here in the park with my companion talking to you. Well, to make a long story short, this man started to cry, gave this elder and his companion a big embrace, accepted a copy of the Book of Mormon, and gave his name as a referral.
Wow.
And here was an elder scared to death, who went out and did, and in the process became.
Yeah, and exercised enough faith and perseverance and recognized the voice of the Spirit. It's a great example of all of those things. A wonderful story.
It is, and these missionaries just exude that kind of experience. I mean, we bask in their spirit because they learn what it's all about very quickly.
Well, there's such a variety of individuals, you know, both young men and young women, and they bring with them tools from how they've been raised and what they've learned before in their life. But for all of them, there's a challenge to start fresh and to be someone new and to be teachable and to be there with them in this process of becoming humble and learning to trust in the Lord and seeing the vision that they can be His instruments must be remarkable.
It is. And then you think, we're in it every day, and so our spirits are boosted on a continual basis. And again, that's one of the reasons why I just loved being a president of a missionary training center, because of that constant renewal of the spirit by their examples.
Yeah. What's some of the challenges with learning language that you see? I mean, many people remark that that's one of the greatest fruits of the missionary work is how amazingly fluent missionaries become after their mission experiences. And yet so many times when they come to the MTC, they don't know anything about the language that they're to speak in the mission field. How do you get that started?
And so many of them have tried in earlier courses in high school or whatever, failed miserably and feel like they're going to be a continued failure with the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest challenges there is, even though we counsel against, and there's a great piece in Preach My Gospel to help missionaries see their way through this, missionaries compare themselves one to another. They compete. And it's part of their system. It's inevitable that you just compete and compare yourselves. But missionaries probably many of them have to reach rock bottom, where they finally just say, I can't go any longer alone. I need thy help. And they prayed for his help, but not real. They didn't, not against the up against the wall that tests them to the very limits. And until they do that and recognize that it's just not a battle that I have to win, the Lord's there and He'll help me. And if they can quit comparing themselves and remember that the Lord will put words into their mouth. I love what Nephi says in chapter 33 of 2 Nephi of his book. The Lord will carry the message, I'm paraphrasing, unto the hearts of the children of men. And so what might come out of the mouth in unconjugated form for verbs or with wrong classes or whatever will sound like it came from the tongue of an angel in the heart of a sincere recipient.
The Holy Ghost is the most powerful translator anyway.
It is.
And if he doesn't work, you know, many of us would be sunk anyway. I'm sure, Sister Hill, you had some experiences as a mission mom in Bolivia in which you saw some miracles and some struggles with this.
Well, I struggled the most of anybody with the language. But yes, I do think that missionaries are truly blessed to learn the language. It's amazing what they can learn in such a short time compared to just other people trying to learn a language. Yeah. It certainly has to have divine intervention, not only for them to learn, for people to understand what in the world they're saying. But
well, and you really can't explain it any other way, because there are all kinds of, you know, classes and other things that try to do immersive learning. But when you're immersed in the Lord's work and trying to find a way of doing it, miracles occur. And a lot of times to the individuals, it happens so incrementally but so quickly, they don't even see it happening.
That's true.
They don't realize how well they're doing and how quickly they're growing.
This reminds me of an experience we had in Hawaii when I was the president of the language training mission there. A missionary came to learn Japanese. He came from Grants Pass, Oregon. And in the first testimony meeting, I think it was held the second day, he leaned over to me and he said, President Hill, I covenant with you as the president that when I learn a word in Japanese, I will never use its equivalent in English to someone who could or should know Japanese. And I thought, wow, I don't go that strong. I'm not a covenant-type person with language. But he was so determined. And I noticed that he honored his commitment. Huh. He just gave everything he had to learn Japanese and speak that language whenever possible. Well, on Thanksgiving Day, we didn't live on campus, and my wife didn't even have a call to participate with me. She was in the home ward with our children. So we had our Thanksgiving lunch at home with some guests. And just as we were sitting down to eat our meal, I got a phone call from the language training mission. Mm-hmm. What had happened is we gave the missionaries their Thanksgiving Day as a free day. We started out with a special spiritual kind of activities with district meetings, testimony bearing, and a chance to read scriptures and ponder with gratitude on their blessings that they had. And then we gave them some free time in the early afternoon to play some sports and then the Thanksgiving meal at the cafeteria. During the sports time, the missionaries went out onto the playing field, but it had rained quite heavily the days before. And so the water puddled on the grass. And these missionaries, as inventive as they are and creative as they are, invented a game where they would run as fast as they could, then take a nosedive into the water on the grass, and then slide on their stomach as far as they could and see who could slide the farthest. This elder that I described earlier from Grants Pass, somehow in his intensity, got his head too far down. And when he took the nosedive, he broke his neck. And so they called me. And when I got to the language training mission sports facility, the ambulance was already there. He was strapped in a gurney. And he was conscious and coherent. But he was totally numb. And he was paralyzed from the neck down. I followed the ambulance all the way into Honolulu, and when I got into the emergency room, they were already attending him, and the nurse had a clipboard and was gathering personal information, and every time she'd ask a question, this elder would respond back in Japanese. Huh. Well, the nurse didn't understand Japanese. She was Polynesian, and so she would repeat the question. He would repeat the answer in what Japanese he could. Finally, she panicked and drop the clipboard and just grab the gown of the attending physician and gasp and said, "Hurry, this man is hallucinating." No, he wasn't. He was just speaking his language because he was committed to do so. Well, he had to stay over for some surgery and some rehabilitation, but went on to his mission with the help of a cane. But marvelous missionary, learned the language, and yes, he was blessed by the Spirit, but he earned the Spirit. He deserved the Spirit because of his commitment. He said covenant, but I'm going to say commitment to learn.
Well, what a marvelous example. And so many of the young missionaries learn that kind of feeling. Many of them take many months to learn it. Many of them come into the mission field with that level of commitment. But what the Lord does with them because of that is a miracle all over the world.
Can I share one more experience?
Please.
This was a man who did not learn the language, but learned that you can still be effective and powerful without the language. This was a senior couple called to Bolivia with us. When they arrived, we put them in the mission office to help us there where they didn't need to learn the language. And language was hard for them. And one day, we were on the second floor. One day, a very distinguished, well-dressed businessman came in off of the street. And as he started up the stairwell and got to the first landing, the senior missionary, who didn't speak any Spanish, heard the footsteps and opened the door from where he was working, rushed down to the landing, held out his hand, and probably said something like this in English: "Hi, welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How may I help you?" Well, this Spanish individual didn't speak a word of English, probably didn't understand a word that was said, and so this good senior missionary escorted him up the rest of the stairwell and tried to find out what he needed. A younger missionary was in the office at the time, overheard the commotion, and came out and helped the gentleman. And so he went on his way. As he got downstairs to the landing, the senior missionary again came out of the door, ran down to the landing, shook his hand, and probably said something like, "Thank you for coming to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints today. Have a good day." I was in my office. I didn't see or hear any of this. A few weeks later, I got a phone call. The man on the other end of the line said, "I don't know you, and you don't know me, but I'm looking for a white-haired man on your office staff." Only once, so I knew who he was, and I mentioned his name, and then the man said, "The reason I'm calling, I want you to invite him to my baptism next Saturday," and gave me the time. And then he shared what I just shared with you and said, "I don't know exactly what he said, but when he held out his hand and shook my hand and smiled at me and couldn't speak my language, I felt something I've never felt before." And so I sought out missionaries. I knew they were from the same church, and had them teach me the lessons. And now I want him, because he's responsible for my baptism, to witness that event.
That's a great story, because again, it's the Spirit that converts.
It is.
And language can be a help, or it can be a barrier, or it can be no barrier bar at all, even though it's a challenge for us. What a marvelous story.
Elder Jean R. Cook once said, "The problem with most teachers is they think they are the teacher."
Yeah. Well, and that's often the thing that has to be overcome. And for many missionaries, it's you have to learn that it's not your responsibility, the language issue. You have to learn that it's not all up to you. And until you learn that this isn't your problem, this is the Lord's problem, and give it over and let him deal with it, then you have to struggle with it.
And isn't he so good at overcoming
Heavenly
it?
Father does great with his problems.
Oh, he sure does.
It's been such a blessing to be able to visit with you. We're speaking with President Eugene and Joan Hill, who presided over the Madrid, Spain Mission Training Center and have served in several missionary training callings. And this is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm your host, Tim Taggart. It's such a pleasure to be able to share with you your experiences and testimony that have been over such a long period of time and over such a wide portion of the world. And I'm sure you've seen individual challenges as well as great blessings in each of the places that you've been in and the missionaries that you've had opportunity to serve. As we wind down, why don't you share with us maybe some advice that you would give to young missionaries that are preparing for missions as they get ready to go into the MTC and onto their missions that maybe have helped to them?
I think, first of all, I'd say go. Second, before you go, prepare. And don't just prepare to go, prepare to become, so that in your preparation you can learn the workings of the Spirit, learn what you can do, learn what you and the Lord together can do, learn what the Spirit and only the Spirit can do, and put away any fear, any reservation, throw away all excuses, and go to become. And what a blessing you will be to countless people, generations to come.
I think that's a great principle and good advice. Sister Hill, what'd you say?
I agree with that totally. I would tell them that they are in for the most wonderful experience. They're in for the opportunity to fill the Lord's Spirit with them all the time if they would like it. And that He will help them through all their difficulties, their worries, their fears, and they will find great joy in their life and in help giving, sharing that joy with others too, that they might be happy.
Wonderful. As we conclude, how about sharing your testimony with us? Would you first, Sister Hill, and then President Hill?
Well, I certainly have a testimony that my Heavenly Father loves us. I know that He lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ. So thankful that He is our Redeemer, our Savior. I'm thankful for the opportunity to feel their presence, their help, their comfort in times of trial, and we all have times of trial. I know I have been blessed in my life many times, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that the gospel has been restored. Joseph Smith was a true prophet, and today we have a prophet on the earth too, and I'm so thankful for President Monson. I'm grateful for the knowledge, the testimony that I have that's blessed my life and blessing my family's life and the things I do. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father lives. I know that. I know it. Heavenly Father loves us, and I know that too. And I also know that He's so close. And as Elder Maxwell frequently would say, He's in the details of our lives. And I can feel that, and I can see it all of the time, and I know it's true. I know that He is our spiritual Father, and I know that He knows us and loves us, and that He wants us to become like Him and to be able to return like Him and live with Him forever. I know that His Son, Jesus Christ, lives. He is the one who atoned for our sins. I know that, and I appreciate Him for that. And I know that Joseph Smith saw both God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ in the grove. I know that, and I'm grateful for that testimony. I'm grateful for the missionary program that helps young people come to that realization. When I was a young missionary a long time ago in Chile, I still, with embarrassment, remember asking my senior companion, "Is it true that God has a body of flesh and bone?" Today, I can say, "Oh, yes," and with good reason. And I know that the Book of Mormon, who testifies of God the Father and of Jesus Christ and is a witness of Jesus Christ, is true. I love that influence in my life every day. And I, too, say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I'm Tim Taggart. Thanks for joining us for Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. For more information on this program or to see pictures of those who are interviewed, visit us online at radio.lds.org. To share your story with the Mormon Channel, email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Into All the World.